This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
I'm working on a series called No Weapon Formed Against You Shall Prosper. Isaiah 54:17, we're going to read it again. But no weapon that's formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, you shall show to be in the wrong. This peace, righteousness, security, and triumph over opposition, four things we see here: peace, righteousness, security, and triumph over opposition is our heritage, or it's what we have inherited from Jesus Christ. You know, inheritance is a great thing. I didn't inherit anything from my parents because they didn't have anything for anybody to inherit. I ended up having to take care of them. But when people get an inheritance, it must be an amazing thing to just all of a sudden have downloaded on you what somebody else worked all their life for. That must be a really cool thing. And if you do get to inherit anything from anybody, you should really be appreciative of that. We have inherited everything that Jesus worked and died for. Everything. Come on. Everything. Just think for a minute that when he hung on that cross, he took the sins of the whole world upon himself. He paid the debt that we owed. And we no longer have to bear the shame, the reproach, the guilt, the blame of sin. But the Bible tells us that we can have something else. We can have peace. We can have righteousness. We can be secure and confident. How many of you need a little bit more of that? And we can triumph over opposition. We are more than conquerors. We don't have to be afraid of trouble. We don't have to even be afraid of what's going to happen in the world today. I'm not afraid of it. I'm not afraid of it. God is on our side, and he will help us and take care of us. And if this is the generation in which we are alive, then God's got us prepared and we can handle whatever comes. If we couldn't handle it, God would have had us born in some other generation. He even picks and chooses what time frame you're going to live in. Amen. Peace, righteousness, security, and triumph over opposition is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And I like the amplification, those in whom the ideal servant of the Lord is reproduced. So these promises are not just made to people who go sit in a church pew three or four times a year and call themselves a Christian. But these promises are made to people who are committed and serious, and they're really working with the Holy Spirit, not getting into works of the flesh, but you're cooperating with and working with the Holy Spirit to let what Jesus has done in you as a free gift be worked out through you so the world can see what Jesus is really like. Amen? Do you understand that? Jesus comes and does like this holy download in us. The minute that you receive Christ as your Savior, all these wonderful things are deposited in your spirit. You are a spirit. You have a soul and you live in a body. When you go look at yourself in the mirror, you just see your body. But boy, there's so much more to us than just that. There's thoughts and feelings and emotions and motives and desires and all these things that go on in us that people can't see. And then even deeper than that is our spirit man. And that's where we get revelation from God, intuition. That's where our conscience functions. That's where we fellowship with God. That's where we hear from God, where we're led by the Spirit. So lots of wonderful things going on inside you that you don't see when you look in the mirror. And the Bible tells us in 1 John 3, verse 9, that when we're born again, we receive the divine sperm of Almighty God. That's what the Amplified Bible says. So if you can handle this, we become pregnant with God, with godliness. I see you're looking at me kind of odd. Well, we all know what sperm is. It's what happens when a husband plants his seed in his wife's womb. Well, our spirit is like our womb. And 1 John 3:9 says that we have planted in us the divine sperm of Almighty God, and we cannot continue habitually, purposely sinning because the nature of God abides in us. I don't think you believe me. Well, here it is. No one born of God deliberately, knowingly, and habitually practices sin. That doesn't mean we don't sin, but it says that you can't just be satisfied to just sit down with a sinful lifestyle and never change and just habitually knowingly, hey, I know I'm sinning and I don't care. You can't do that. For God's nature abides in him, his principle of life, the divine sperm remains permanently within him, and he cannot practice sinning because he's born of God. So how many of you know what happens when a woman gets pregnant? At first, she's like real excited, and she says, I'm pregnant. And you're like, well, you don't look pregnant. Well, that's kind of what happens to a new born-again believer. It's like, oh, my God, you're so excited because her sins are forgiven, and I got all this stuff. And you're like, well, I don't see any change. Amen. And sometimes what I've done, I didn't even plan to go this direction, but sometimes what I've done is I'll bring several pregnant women up on the platform that are pregnant at different stages. And so you got the little skinny person that weighs 93 pounds that says she's 4 months pregnant and you can't see a thing. And then you got maybe somebody that's 6 months pregnant and you're like, well, yeah. And then 7, and then 8, and then 9, and then maybe somebody that's overdue, you know. My God. And see, as you continue walking with God, you will keep, now listen to me, keep giving birth to godliness. Don't you love that? You'll just keep giving birth to more and more of the character qualities of Jesus. He's in us. And he would never expect us to become like him if he didn't equip us with everything that we need to do that. Amen. That would be foolish to say, now, you go behave right if he didn't first give us righteousness. He couldn't say, be holy if he didn't give us the seed of holiness on the inside of us. So let me just tell you something, dear, beautiful, born-again believer. You have got everything that you need already on the inside of you. Some of you aren't sure. You're like, No, you do. You have it. It's in you, but it's in a seed form. Once again, when a woman becomes pregnant, a seed is planted in her. And that seed has to be properly cared for, taken care of, nurtured, allowed to grow. Well, we have the seed of Almighty God in us, and as we water the seed with the Word of God, come on now, and as we get the Sun of Righteousness shining on us, and we persist little by little, the godly character qualities that God has put in us, the fruit of the Spirit, the faith, all the things that God has invested in us, grows, gets a little bigger, 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 and then you come to giving birth. Now, anybody who's ever given birth knows that sometimes it's not super comfortable. Amen? Even if a man, I mean, I know as a man you've not given birth, but you've surely watched somebody do it, or you've seen a TV program, and you're like, what's with all the screaming? Well, let me tell you. And to be honest, and I'm just making some analogies here, sometimes in letting God change us to be what he wants us to be, there is some pain, there is some discomfort. And sometimes you gotta push. Amen? But I'm just telling you that once you get the baby, see, when you're in labor, you're like, I am never doing this again. I mean, right at that moment, you hate your husband who got you pregnant. You're like, you did this to me. I'm never doing this again. Now, you know, you people today, you have all these little epidurals and all that stuff that where you don't feel nothing. Well, we didn't get one of those when I had my kids. Let me tell you. I mean, they wouldn't even let your husband in the room with you, and then Dave would say, we had a baby. I'm like, we didn't have nothing. Woo. My last son lacked 1 ounce, weighing 10 pounds. We didn't have anything. And you know, you just think you can't stand it. But then you get the baby and it's like, oh, it was all worth it. And you know, I can look back at my own life and, you know, surely you can understand that to go through what I went through as a child or what many of you have gone through in your life, the different things that we encounter. I mean, I was pretty messed up, and getting from where I was to where I am, it would be foolish for me to stand here and tell you it's been easy, because it hasn't. But man, was it worth it. Boy, was it worth it. So I just want to give you a short encouragement this morning. Don't give up. Keep watering your seed. Keep spending time with God. Let that sun shine on you. Be patient. You know, I carried all of my kids way over the due date. And some of you feel like you are over your due date. You feel like you've been pregnant way too long. Is anything ever gonna change? Am I ever gonna see the promises that I feel like that God has given me? Yes. But some things take a little longer than other things do. No doctor could ever tell me why I carried all my children almost 10 months. Every one of them. 4.5 weeks, 3.5 weeks was the least late I was with anyone. And that was Sandra. One of them was almost 6 weeks overdue. Now, they wouldn't let you do that today, but back then the doctor said, it'll come when it's ready. I mean, I had my clothes packed so long to go to the hospital that I had to unpack them, wash them, and repack them. They even took me to the hospital and tried to start my labor, and we do that too sometimes, don't we? It's like, I'm going to make this happen. Come on, you know how it is. I'm going to be patient. I'm going to be good. I'm going to watch my mouth. I'm going to think better thoughts. I'm going to be less selfish. They had to send me back home. All I had was labor, no baby. Are you all tracking with me today? And so we try and 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 we try. And the thing we fail to do a lot of times is just believe. See, if I can get you to believe what I'm saying, or if God can get you to believe, I probably can't get you to do anything, but if God can get you to believe that you already have everything in you that you need, and get you to see yourself the way He sees you, you know what my goal is today? I want you to leave here feeling better about yourself. I want you to leave here seeing yourself the way God sees you, having the hope for yourself that God has for you, having the faith in you that God has in you, and being in agreement with God that you can and will be and do everything that He says you can be and will do. Let me tell you something. Nothing in life is right. Nothing feels right, nothing works right until you know that you're right. Thank you for that one little. You're like, and I'm not talking about like right in all your opinions and, you know, right in everything you think and right in everything you say. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about until you know that you're right with God. And let me tell you something. When we know that we're right with God, I mean really, really, really know that God loves us and that we're right with Him and that He's got a place prepared for us, you can survive the rejection of other people. You can survive their criticism and their judgment. Because your worth and value is not tied up in what other people think. And I'm not saying that it doesn't hurt, but I'm saying it doesn't have to take you out and flatten you in life and cause you to be a failure and be miserable your whole life. But I know that I'm right with God through the blood of Jesus Christ. I've received that by faith, and it's been such a part of me for so long now that, I mean, I like really believe it. I'm not just confessing it. I don't just think it. I like really believe that God is not mad at me today. I mean, I actually really believe that He likes me. And I really believe that He likes you. I really believe that. God's not mad at you today. Oh, but Joyce, you don't know what I did before I got here. Let me tell you something. If you're sorry you did it, the Bible says that the moment that we repent of our sins, God removes them as far as the east is from the west, and He remembers them no more. And I love what it says in Hebrews chapter 10, that He became the final sacrifice that would ever be needed to pay for our sins. He paid once and for all. Everybody gets in on it, never has to be done again. And that there's no more, now get this, there's no more offering to be made as a sacrifice for sins. Do you know what that means? When I sin, I don't have to sacrifice. Jesus already sacrificed. One of the things I sacrificed for years was joy. I felt like I certainly didn't deserve to enjoy myself. People sacrifice prayer. They won't pray. They don't, or if they do, they pray wimpy prayers. They don't pray bold prayers. People sacrifice thinking that God can use them in any kind of ministry if they haven't been real good all the time. Well, let me tell you something. If you would have seen the condition I was in when I first started teaching my first Bible study, I mean, you would have went, this is really stupid. I mean, you may have heard me tell this story, but I started teaching the Bible wearing short shorts and blowing smoke in everybody's face. I did. I mean, honey, just as short as I could get them. See, the honest to God truth was I didn't know any better. And I went to church all the time, but all my friends did that. I mean, a pastor smoked, I smoked. I didn't, you know, there was nothing wrong with it. Now, after a little bit, God started convicting me. And if I wouldn't have obeyed Him and put it down, not because it's any worse than overeating or lots of other things, because we're just talking about not doing damage to our body. I don't know why Christians have come up with the three biggies, smoking, cussing, drinking. It's like, well, do you cuss, do you smoke, do you drink? But my point is God will take you where you're at and help you get to where you need to be if you're willing to make the journey with Him. Amen.
Well, we can't be right with God through any amount of our own works, no matter how hard we try. And I know that some of you are trying and trying and trying, and we just don't feel like we get there. But His righteousness is freely given to us, and nothing is right in life until we know that we're right with God because of what He did for us and because of our relationship with Him. And these are things you have to work on. Every relationship takes a little bit of work. So how do you build a relationship with God? You spend time with Him. You pray. You get to know who He is by spending time in His Word. So today, we want to make sure you have a good Bible in your hands. The Everyday Life Bible is a Bible that includes Joyce's no-nonsense approach to everyday living. It has a lot of her personal notes and commentary, and you feel like Joyce is your personal study partner. So it's really helpful, and it is the entire Word of God. So Make sure that you check that out. Get a great Bible wherever you get it. If you'd like to get this one, we would love to hear from you. But make sure that you are spending time in God's Word. Coming up next, the story of a young man who didn't have much of a childhood, but got connected to a place that put his God-sized dreams in the fast lane. You'll want to see this.
Discover the transformative power of the Word of God and learn to apply its truth to your life with the Everyday Life Bible. Alongside the life-changing biblical messages are some of Joyce's personal study notes and life lessons that will help you gain a fresh, relevant understanding of Scripture. Today, we're offering the Everyday Life Bible for your gift of $35 or more. Go to joycemeyer.org or get it by calling us at 1-800-727-9673.
Experience God in a whole new way at the Joyce Meyer Conference. 3 unique sessions with heartfelt worship and practical teaching to help you relax, refresh, and recharge your life. Coming to Phoenix, Arizona, February 14th and 15th with worship by Dream City Worship. In Austin, Texas, March 27th and 28th with worship by Matt Redman. For more information, visit joycemeyer.org or call 1-866-SEE-JOYCE.
Well, emotional healing doesn't just happen overnight. It's a day-by-day process, and time in God's Word is a key. I want to help you in your journey with my new Healing the Soul of a Woman devotional. It is possible to break free from your pain, and you don't have to go through it alone. My 90-day devotional equips you with scriptures that will help you walk this path to freedom.
Now available wherever books are sold, or order your copy today at joycemeyer.org.
Well, how does a young man growing up on a dead-end street in a violent neighborhood end up on a racetrack competing with racing's best? Well, watch this to see how God used an outreach of Joyce Meyer Ministries, the St. Louis Dream Center, to open a young man's heart to dream big. Scott dramatically changed his course, and it is leading him to the Speedway.
Growing up, I experienced a lot of hardship with my family. Growing up in the north side of St. Louis, it's very rough at times, and a lot of shootings and a lot of violence, and there's a lot of storms that I went through as a child with bullying and with a lot of insecurities of mine.
The Dream Center is just this incredible mix of people coming from different worlds. And if it were to be described in one word, I would say restoration.
Dream Center was my second home, basically. Pastor Tony showed me that God can take me anywhere that I want to go and take me to places that I've never even dreamed of.
So in this portion of scripture, I had a great opportunity to mentor Scott. We were able to meet on a regular basis and just talk through life.
I have 4 siblings. I am the oldest, and just being the oldest of the group, you're expected a little more. Mom went through lung disease, and for me, I was left to be the strong person of the group and always helping out with my siblings. My mom passed, and it was a really hard time, and I was confused, I was upset, I didn't know what to do. My siblings didn't really have any place to go. I helped take care of them for a couple months, and I was trying to figure out a way where they could live with their dad. The Dream Center told me that if I needed anything, if anything happened, to let them know.
And so it was at that time that we stepped in and we allowed Scotty to be here for about 7 months as an intern.
and somehow it worked out great. They poured into me.
And it was kind of a cool experience for us, because to see what those 6 or 7 months did for him as a man.
When I was reading the Word and when I was getting into the Word, it changed me in a huge way and helped me see that these storms, if you let them pass and actually learn from them, it'll help you turn bad things into good things.
We saw a maturity, a development in him as a young man that we are now seeing even more of the fruits from as he goes on to do what he does in racing.
When I saw NASCAR for the first time, it was absolutely amazing. They were so loud, but so fast. That's really what opened my dream and opened my eyes to racing. I've been karting for about 3 years and dreaming about being one of those who get to do this every weekend. I want to, you know, drive fast for a living.
He's raced and placed high on some of the races that he's had out at Gateway. Scott's story, you're a part of it. Those 7 months that he was able to live on campus and have his meals taken care of and his lodging taken care of, that doesn't happen without your donations and your partnership with us. You help us be a light in a dark world.
Being able to race and showing people that through Christ you can do all things. Christ can move doors and be in places that you didn't even expect.
You know, as an Indiana girl, I love seeing lives change, and especially when it involves racing, because that's something that I've had growing up all my life. And I'm so excited for Scott, because we hear that he is really an up-and-comer in the field, and we're so excited for what God is doing in his life. We're also excited that we could be a part of it, and you're a part of it too. If you're a partner with Joyce Meyer Ministries, everything we do around the world, you have your finger on. Just like you just saw at the St. Louis Dream Center, this opportunity to make such a huge difference in people's lives. And no matter what they're going through in that situation, we can help them. We're able to help with food. We're able to help with school programs that really make a difference to help families be stronger. We're also helping in different parts of the United States. We're helping with disaster relief and around the world with feeding and medical care. And as a partner with Joyce Meyer Ministries, you know that you are helping to share God with people all over the world. So we would love to invite you to join the family. Joyce Meyer Ministries is just one big family of many people just like you from all over the world who believe in one thing, and that is that we are to share Christ and love people. So join us today. Go to joycemeyer.org, call that number on your screen, and we would love to welcome you to our family.
We hope you have enjoyed today's program. Please contact us or visit joycemeyer.org to share your prayer request, see the conference schedule, or partner with us in sharing Christ and loving people all across the globe. This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.